you.
Amen.
Because today we choose to cry out unto you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let it be a conscious choice, a desire that we make, the desire that you have put in us, God, by your love coming into our hearts.
Yes.
God, we give thanks.
Yes, Lord.
We give thanks to you, God, out of the gratitude of our heart for everything that you've done for us. God, forgive us where we've been complacent. Forgive us, God, where we've put the cares of the world above the kingdom. Where we've put the cares of the world above who you are, Jesus. Let us not forget what you did. Let us not forget the journey to the cross that you made. Let us not forget that love came down. Love came down to rescue us. You never turned back. It didn't matter how many people stood with you, because in the end, there weren't any. That perfect love was in your heart because love itself came down. So God, we give thanks to you today. Thank you, God, that this church is finding its voice. And I declare over this house that we have found our voice in this region in the name of Jesus. Enough, God. I can't thank you enough for what you've done for me. You never leave me nor forsake me. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and sound mind. Hallelujah. Let our mouths declare the truth to prepare to receive what God has for us. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle. Are you? Say that. I'm not going to settle. Say it again. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle. Hallelujah. God, we just worship you and we invite you into this place. I don't want another religious meeting. Thank you that the power of God is here. So I prophesy to our hearts to be opened to receive what you have for each person. There's something for each person. There's a step that you want us all to take. And I thank you, God, that you're going to reveal what it is. And it's coming with the power and the anointing to overcome. Just set your mind for it because it's coming, but you got to want it. You got to position yourself for increase because it's here to be had. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. Well, I'm thrilled that my husband is back. And Tim too, of course, but he doesn't live with me. But I'm excited that they're home, and I'm just so thankful that they gave of their time to spend 10 days in South Africa. I've been there before a couple times, and just a fantastic group of people.
Amen.
The fields are definitely white for harvest.
That's right.
It's just amazing how the power of God moves there, and it's quite an experience to experience their culture. It's way different than ours, and some of that I've seen in churches around here, the black or the Indian culture, they just do things a little bit differently, and it's powerful, it's awesome, and I love that diversity. I love that flair that they bring because they're passionate. They're passionate people. I mean, you can't sit in a church service, especially when we go into the black. And I hope I'm politically correct or whatever how I'm saying that. It doesn't matter because I'm not prejudiced. But when you get a black church, man, it's exciting. They're standing up, they're sitting down, they're hallelujah, and they're amen, and I fit right in. I love that, because they're excited about the Word of God. So I want to take a couple of minutes. I want Don and Tim to come up. Did he let you know this was going to happen? Because I'm letting you know. So I just want to give them a couple of minutes, because we want to hear what you guys did. We want to hear what you saw. We want to hear mostly, though, about what God did. So whoever wants to go first.
First of all, thanks to you, Life Tree, because you actually went with us. You sent us, and so we're just blessed to go to where God had us minister there in South Africa on behalf not only of the kingdom of God, but for the local commissioning from Life Tree Church. Thank you. Because again, by your prayers and by your giving, you helped send us. And so we were just blessed. And so we're just going to take a couple moments here. If you have questions about the trip, please see us after church or any time, really. We'd love to give you more details. But we spent the first couple days at a crusade down in a city below Durban, along the, it'll be the east coast of South Africa. It's called Nzentu. And so we had some opportunities there for preaching and ministering. And then we had an amazing opportunity to go into the what would be the equivalent of the local state police headquarters. It was for that whole region, and we were able to go into there. And actually, it was given a message to give them at their morning roll call. There's probably 30 of their officers that were there. And so I just I used a phrase, if you want to study it, it's in Romans chapter 13. It talks about how those governmental officials, you know, it says that he does not bear the sword for nothing. We know our police officers don't bear swords these days. They bear a firearm. But really, I read that passage in Romans 13 is really talking about the governmental officials that are ordained by God. And so I reminded them, I use this phrase, remember, you work for God. Because I can tell you, they had some very adverse circumstances in that country, and I won't even have the time to go into those. They're battling uphill battles, but I reminded them who they're working for, and they really seem to enjoy that. Yeah. And so, again, Tim and I had some great ministry time there. And then we went up to Pastor Daniel's church, and he was, we just had an amazing time up there. We had some great ministry opportunities. We were given the chance to speak up there on a number of occasions. And Sunday was the highlight of, I think, Tim and my trip. We were both taken from the service and sent to Zulu tribal churches to bring the Word of God. And in fact, I'll let Tim speak about his, because during the middle of the service, they came and his driver got Tim, and he went up to some village we've never been to, and I was able to go to Matuba, where we've been before, and they just really are hungry for the Word of God. They're ready to receive it. The altar calls were so amazing, and God was doing an amazing work. Even through interpreters, we're able to bring the message of the gospel. Amen. So, Tim, give your take.
Yeah, mine's probably slightly different than Don's. When we went a little over 2 years ago, I went with a certain expectation to minister and to maybe preach a little. This time I went with the expectation of go and serve wherever God had me to serve. I preached once, and that was fine. I was very glad to do that and blessed by that, of course. But most of what God did was open my eyes, and I got to pray with a lot of people. And He strengthened my prayer life through being able to minister. But what struck me the most is we got to go to two places that we had. Usually we go and minister to the church and give them a fresh word and minister to them, and that's fantastic. But this time, that visit to the crippled children's home was just an eye-opening, heartbreaking moment for me. And it made me realize the real needs that we can maybe meet besides what we're doing now. But it was, I don't know if you have any of the videos you're going to show today, but we went into this children's home, crippled children's home, doesn't even have a name, but Pastor Daniel ministers there. And disabled little children just laying in beds. And this woman caring for them, who has given up everything just to care for these children. No running water, no plumbing, not even her own building. The building can be taken at any time by the government. But yet, she gave up everything. That just struck me so strongly. we whine and complain about sacrificing a little. This woman sacrificed everything.
Including her husband.
Including her husband, her family, her home, to take care of these, least of these. So it reminded me that we have the least of these here, but hopefully maybe we can minister and increase our ministry there as well over time. But it was just God touched me in a different way this time, which kind of broke me a little bit and made me realize that we are so blessed compared to what some have. But a fantastic time. I recommend not going just because 30 hours of travel is horrifying. But I am fully recovered now, by the way, brother. I can actually walk.
Praise the Lord.
So it was a blessing. Thank you for, again, sending us, because we all went. And I'd love to tell you more about it, but I know we got to listen to the word.
Amen. So. Amen. Thank you. And one more thing, as Tim had mentioned, we went to that that very small building, ramshackle building, where the disabled children, that community being taken. The village is called Ensolani. And so we've asked Pastor Daniel that maybe that's something. He's coming here, we believe, this summer. We've scheduled preliminary early August, so please keep your calendar open for that until we can talk among the leadership and see how that's going to hammer out. But I said one of our hearts right now is maybe it'd be one of the things we could do is make the focus of that crusade. Part of the offerings would go to support that, at least bring that ministry up to standards where it needs to be. We can do something. And just to let you know, LifeTree, we gave on your behalf while we were in there, just so to tell you. But there's more that can be done. Pastor Daniel's church is mobilizing their teams to improve that facility as much as they can, but we would want to be part of that. So just to let you know, there are things in the works. So we're blessed. And thanks for going along. We just had a great time.
We did.
That's it.
Thanks.
Okay. Pastor Sherry, thank you.
Well, amen to that. The opportunity to go to South Africa is there. So just keep that in the back of your minds. If God's calling you to go on missions, those opportunities will be coming. I had to move over here. I'm sorry. The glare is so bad out the front door. It's blinding me. So I hope y'all don't mind if I stand over here on the side, because it's just the same up there looking out those doors. So last week, I don't know if we've ever canceled church. I don't know if we've ever done that. But I know that for me, I was really blessed by that. I was blessed because of the quiet. It truly became a day of rest. And I hope you all took the time to read what the Lord put in my heart. It was on the website. I'm not sure if the word got to everybody that was there. I know some of you don't have the technology. I know my mom doesn't to get that. But I just really felt that it was a preparation, because okay, now you don't have to go. You don't have to go to church. So what did you do? What did y'all do on Sunday? Did you take a minute to reflect on God? Did you take a minute to reflect? Because you had to stop. With the exception of shoveling snow. I think we were all doing that. But for me, just the time to reflect on the beauty and the atmosphere. I know that I listened to a testimony by a New Age person into all kinds of power and all kinds of things that weren't God. And he just, to make it short, he testified of how he encountered a spiritual battle in the night, and he saw things that scared him. But then when the Lord came in, he encountered Jesus Christ, and whatever was going on, there was definitely a battle in the spirit going on, and Jesus Christ showed up. And he was completely overtaken by the power of God, and he saw Jesus. And he said, because part of what he worshipped was nature, but when this power came on him, he bowed down on the ground in the presence of God. And he heard the wind responding to the presence of God. He heard the birds and everything at the tree, everything. He said he could feel the response of nature responding to the presence of God. And that's how it is, that we don't worship creation, we worship the Creator. Because creation itself bows down at its maker. And it put me in awe, because we are so much higher than creation. God put us on this earth to take dominion. And how naturally, when we pursue God, we bow down in His presence. It's automatic. We are just in awe of who He is and what He's done for us. So that's what I was reflecting on last week. But today I'm going to be reading out of 1 Kings chapter 13. What God's put on my heart is about passionately pursuing Him. How important this is. It is the substance of our being to have the power of God in our lives. To not just live in a lukewarmness, but to live passionately, to live powerfully. That the kingdom of God is not a matter of word, but of power. It's not a form of godliness. And denying its power. It is the power of God itself working through us. It is releasing the kingdom on earth. The passage I'm going to be reading is 2 Kings 13, 14 through 20. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot, and he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck the ground three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." Then Elisha died, and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. And so it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders. And they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you have a desire to release something today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the atmosphere is ripe for impartation. God, we just open our hearts to whatever you have. I yield myself to you, and I'll say what you want me to say. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you might as well. Thanks. My friend sent me a text this week. I thought it was kind of funny. She sent me, it was a picture, and it said, "We came from the dust, and we'll return to the dust. That's why I don't dust, because it might be somebody I know." She's so funny. She's hilarious. It's a friend of mine from downstate. And well, what reminds me of that was the condition. See, Joash was in a place where the army was just pretty much annihilated. Jehoaz, his father, had not walked in the ways of the Lord. And the army was reduced. And it says it was reduced to dust. In 2 Kings 13, verse 7. For he left the army of Jehoaz only 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 foot soldiers. For the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust at threshing. Joash was in a position where not only did he have an army left, but he was losing the prophet. He was losing the prophet of God that would hear from the Lord and let him know the plans of the enemy. And he would also let the king know what the plans were for the army to overtake it. This is such an amazing passage. Because Joash is actually weeping. He said he came down to him and he wept over his face. And he's looking at the chariots and their horsemen. And he's seeing what he doesn't have. He's seeing that I have nothing left. And Syria is on my doorstep. And now the man of God is dying. But Elisha says, but God. But Elisha says, take a bow and some arrows. So Joash did as Elisha said. And he said, put your hand on the bow. And Joash put his hand on the bow. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. See, Elisha had a word from the Lord. Joash believed enough in the prophet of God to know that if he did what he said, there was favor on that. And Elisha was ready to impart. It's an endearing situation where Elisha is putting his hands on the king. And he's basically saying, what I have, I'm giving you. What I have the word of God. And I'm giving you and I'm imparting this to you. And I'm laying my hands upon you. Because this is what the Lord says. This is what's going to happen. And he tells him, open the east window. And he told Elisha to shoot. That was common for the army or the king to shoot towards the land that they were about to invade. The land that they were about to take. Or they would throw a spear. And he was telling him, open the window and shoot. Because God is giving you the deliverance. He is giving you the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Elisha is saying to the king, your victory is sure. If you remember Elisha's walk, Elisha was the guy that followed Elijah through Bethel, through Jericho, through Gilgal. He followed after Elijah because he was called by God to receive, because he was anointed by Elijah. If you remember the story, God told him to go back and anoint Elisha because he's gonna be the prophet after you. And Elisha went after Elijah even when they said, don't you know that they're going to take your master from you today? Even when Elijah had told Elisha, you need to just stay here. Just stay here. Elisha pushed through. Elisha kept going. He kept following after the prophet because he wanted something. He was after something. And it was the word of God on his life. There was nothing that was going to stop Elisha from getting that double portion. And here is Elisha in the position to impart to the king what he spent his whole life to train to do. I'm not saying he's calling out Joash to be a prophet. But the power of God that's going to come on Joash was before him. And Elisha wanted to impart it to him. And when it came time for Joash to respond, Elisha said, take the arrows. So he took them. And he said to the king, strike the ground. So he struck the ground three times. I don't know about you, But when I read a passage, I need to get into it. I need to put myself in that position to take on what they might have felt. What was it like? What was it like to have the Word of God before me to grab a hold of it? What was he feeling, do you think? And I try to get into the passage and really see it and allow my mind to be engulfed by the presence of God so that he can speak to me in that account. I don't know if you've ever received a word from the Lord, and I'm sure actually that you have. When you've pressed in for something and God said it's going to happen, can I tell you? It's going to happen! That's why it's important that we hear the voice of God, that we walk in the Spirit and receive daily instructions from Him. It's important that we tune our ear, because the Word of God says that my sheep hear my voice. And if that's a battle for you, well, I don't hear God. Well, I can tell you the Word of the Lord for you is my sheep hear my voice. This is the importance of listening to the voice of God. And if you're not hearing it, you have this right here. This is the will of God. It's in here. Joash had the Word of God on his life. And he's saying, I don't care. He was saying, but he wasn't saying, I don't care about the shape of your army. I don't care about what else is going on. Elisha was saying, I'm here to impart to you the victory. Do you want it? It was a choice that he had to make. And the fact that he only shot 3 arrows and Elisha said you should have shot more was indicative that he actually had more. And if I was the king, I could picture, it's like, you know what? I'm going to have victory over the Syrians. It's upon me. This is the prophet of God laying his hands on my life and saying, this is going to happen for you. And he only shot 3 times. I don't know about you, but I'd have shot it through the bow and the quiver and everything. Because when God is going to do something, you can set your heart by faith that he's going to do it. I've shared this before, but I remember when the Lord said to me to stop asking for your dad to get saved because I'm going to do this for you. I can tell you what, I could have jumped off the porch when he told me that. I knew that it was going to happen, and I waited expectantly for it to come. That is the passion that God is wanting us to step into. The passion to run after it, no matter what comes in your face, no matter what happens, no matter what your kids are doing, no matter what your parents are doing, no matter what's going on at work. To run after that and live by the truth of the Word of God. God is calling this house into that place. If you remember, it was by the Spirit of God that Moses confronted Pharaoh. It was because Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit in them that they took the promised land.
Amen.
This generation right here, and this generation right here, what are we passing on to them? Because I'll tell you what, I ain't passing on no dead church to my kid.
Amen.
I'm not passing on any deadness or religion. I don't like religion. It's powerless. It kills. It lives by the letter. If this word ain't true for me, then why do I believe it? Why do we settle? Why do we not go after the things of God passionately until they become truth for us? The Word says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You all have a testimony. I'm pretty sure everybody's saved in here. I think so. If you're not, at the altar call, I expect to see you up here. I'm kidding. It would be nice, but it's a choice. God is calling this house into a different place. God is calling this house like Joshua and Caleb when they took the promised land. We are without excuse. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It does not matter. The enemy does not play fair. It doesn't matter. It is up to you to respond to the moment and the time that's been given to you. It doesn't matter about the past. It doesn't even matter about the future. Because when you receive from God what He has for you, you got to walk it out by faith. Because it gets harder. I hate to tell you, but it gets harder. Joash was in a position to receive something so powerful from God. Passion says, no matter what it costs me, I will obtain it. Lukewarmness says, as soon as I get uncomfortable, I quit. Passion says, I'll give everything I have. Lukewarm says, I'll give enough to get by. Passion says, I won't settle for anything less than what the Word says I can have. Lukewarm says, it's not true for me. Passion says, I'll do whatever it takes. Lukewarm says, I don't want to pay the price. Passion says, I'm going after it until I get it. Lukewarmness says, I'm comfortable right where I am. See, what the prophet had become to Joash was a novelty. You do the work, you hear from God, I'll do what you tell me to do. But now, it was about Joash. It was about his personal desire for God. It was about what he has poured into, not Elisha, but the God of Elisha. He did honor the prophet. He did do what he said. But when it came time to honoring the God of the prophet, Joash was nowhere to be found. He did not understand the spiritual component needed for victory. He did not understand the God of Elisha. Let it never be said of this house that God is a novelty. Let it never be said for us as individuals that it's enough for me where I'm at. See, the cool thing is, nobody knows how long you take. But one thing about this house, and this is what I know my husband and I and the leaders of this church want to cultivate, is an atmosphere to grow. An atmosphere to lay a hold of what God has called you to do. Nobody knows how long you take. I want you to know it's okay to take long as you're positioned to overcome it. But when you say, I quit, it's not coming to you. If you quit, it's not coming to you. Heidi Baker says, if you don't quit, you win. And that's true. If you don't quit, you win. But Joash, he quit. He only went so far, and that was it. And it goes on to say later that he only struck the armies of Syria 3 times. Half-hearted pursuit of God will always keep you in the position of survival. The Word of God isn't quite true enough for you. It's not true enough that you can overcome the circumstances you're in. It's a constant cycle of survival. But I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is victorious. We don't press in for victory. We press in from victory. We're positioned in the heavenly places. It's time that the church steps into the position of the heavenly places, of releasing the kingdom to the earth. The Word says that on earth as it is in heaven. How are we doing with that? How are we doing? Are we taking everything that happens to us that is adverse, if that's the right word? Are we using those trials to press in? Are we using those trials to figure out what God says about it and how can I position myself to overcome it? What good is the church if it's not an overcoming church? The word is clear what God says about the lukewarm, that he vomits it out of his mouth. I wish that you were either cold or hot, but when you're in the middle, I remember Brother Capuccio bringing a powerful word about you want the name, but you don't want to wear the garments. You don't want to wear the garments of righteousness. Man, what a word. I want to say I believe in Jesus, but we don't want to take the time. We don't want to put the effort. But it's not about what we're not doing. It's about believing what God is doing and getting on board with that and pressing in for that and declaring the Word of God over our situation. A life totally consecrated to God is only obtained by the believer himself. Heartfelt devotion and desire to love God and follow Him can only come by cultivating that relationship yourself. Last week when I sent out the gratitude and thanksgiving, E.M. Bounds expounded on that a little bit, and I was reading that. And I had asked the Lord, where does desire come from? I had lots of thoughts in my mind where it came from. And I often wondered what makes one person desire God and the other one is indifferent. What makes that change? What's that desire in someone to passionately pursue God? To the point where you'll shoot the ground as many times as it takes to overcome the enemy in your life. Thursday night, we talked about gratitude and thanksgiving. That gratitude is an inward thing. Gratitude is felt inward and thanksgiving is outward. When gratitude and thanksgiving are working together, it gives birth to love. As love is given place in our hearts, desire for the Lord grows. Love itself settles in. And as love deepens, passion for that love, capital L, comes forth. The spiritual component that Joash needed for victory only came by his desire to receive it. It wasn't coming by focus on what he didn't have, that his army was reduced to dust. He had nothing and was losing the man of God. Have you ever been in a position in your life where things felt like that? Where everything around you, you had no help, no support. Nothing was good, or even self-condemnation. That can be even worse. You can't even get out of your own funk because you put yourself down. I don't even have to say that that's a demon. You're doing that all by yourself. But what I'm saying is that when our minds are renewed by the Word of God, the ability to overcome it, whatever it is. See, there's nothing on this earth that is higher than the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sits on the throne. There are areas of influence that we all have. Are we influencing? When you walk into the room, do people know? When you walk into the room, is the power of God come with you? Passionately pursuing God. Passionately pursuing what He says that we can have. Religion hates that. Religion will keep you right in the place of doing absolutely nothing except believing that Jesus is Lord, but it never manifests. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord is ready to impart that Spirit. And He said, see, when Jesus came to the earth, He came to release everything that His Father was. He was love. He was that power. He was the one that overcame sin and death by the shedding of His blood on the cross. He came with the power of the Holy Ghost in His life. And everywhere He went, I didn't see too many times when He was in the church preaching The only time that he was in the church is when he was messing up religion. Praise Jesus! That's where he needed to be, but he didn't stay there. He was out in the streets. He was healing the sick. He was cleansing the lepers. He was casting out demons. See, Elisha was ready to prepare Joash's hands for war. Joash had a lineage. See, Jehu was his grandfather. Oh, yeah. Jehu was the guy that was anointed by one of the sons of the prophets when Elijah came back from Mount Horeb after he had that amazing, intimate encounter with God. See, Elijah was used to working in huge signs and wonders and just seeing. But when Jezebel herself came after the prophet, he ran. This is one of the... I love this story. I love that account of Elijah running to Horeb. God wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. It was the still, small voice. And it even said that Elisha covered his face with his mantle. See, the mantle of the prophet was important. But the prophet himself was more important than the mantle. And Elijah had to know that God loved him. Elijah had to know that God was all he needed. He wasn't interested in what he was doing. And as much as he was interested in who he was and who he made him. And then he said, go. Anoint Jehu. Anoint Elisha. And it's so cool because one of the sons of the prophet was sent to seek out Jehu. And he said, take him in a private room and anoint him king and get out of there. Read it. It's in the Bible. Because Jehu was anointed, because what he was going to do was going to be high treason. And Jehu took down the house of Ahab. See, there was an anointing for war on the lineage of Joash. Jehoaz was Jehu's son. Joash was the son of Jehoaz. And Elisha was saying, brother, the anointing is upon you. I'm about ready to go, but God's going to give you the strength to keep going. God's going to give you the victory. God's going to give you the victory over everything. Do you want it? When Jesus Christ ascended, after he died and he appeared, I think he was on the earth for 40 days. And then he said, I need to go up with my Father so that the Holy Spirit can come down. Obviously, he took it with him. Or they wouldn't have had to wait. He said, go and wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power. I thought it was interesting that it came in tongues of fire. And it was Elisha that when Elijah was taken up, Elijah said to him, if you see the chariot, if you see the horseman, then what you've asked me will be true for you. A double portion is what Elisha wanted. Elisha wasn't settling for where he was. He wanted the breakthrough that Elijah had, and he asked God for a double portion. It's written in the Old Testament that the firstborn son would receive a double portion inheritance. How many of you know that you're double portion sons and daughters of God? That's what the Word says. It says, I love this. If you don't have the Passion Translation, get it. Romans 8:15. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into fear of never being good enough. Dang! That is so good! But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, which in the New King James Version says the spirit of adoption. It's the place of eldest son. That's the literal translation. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never, never be orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. And some of your translations say, Abba, Father. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, tongues of fire fell on their heads. When Elisha wanted the double portion, he saw the chariot of fire. I think it's interesting the difference that Joash said the same thing, but all he could see was the army. He saw the chariots and the horsemen, but he didn't see no fire. Fire always falls on sacrifice. Fire always falls on sacrifice. And in verse 21, we read that when Elisha was put in the tomb, and then they went to bury someone and threw him in the tomb, that the guy came back to life. Well, guess what? The anointing went with him. Because Joash didn't get it. It was there to be had. Elisha pursued Elijah for the double portion anointing. Elijah did 14 miracles. Elisha did the 28th from the grave. God is so committed to what He says He will do. We need to get out of the way what things look like when they seem impossible, when our emotions block, when our circumstances block. It's like it's impossible. How is this going to? But God. Everybody say that. But God. But God. God always makes a way where there seems to be no way. What the Lord really spoke to my heart about was when He only struck the Syrians 3 times. I feel like God wants us to know, and I think it's so cool that Pastor Don has been talking about the generations and the passing of the baton. We have an age group in here that's predominantly like at 40s, 40 to 60-ish. And we have a few that are older than that and a few that are younger than that. I mean, I don't mean to put the pressure on anybody, but the generation of fathers and mothers is sitting here in this room. I'm not here to make anybody comfortable. That's the difference. When I speak, I'm not to make people comfortable. It even says that the man of God was angry with Joash. You should have struck 5 or 6 times. Because Elisha knew what it was like to follow after. Elisha knew what it took to lay a hold of the power of God in his life. He knew what he had to go through. He was in the school of the prophets. He chased after Elijah. He washed his hands. He served him. He knew what it took. The level of anointing is in direct proportion to your ability to submit. Nobody likes that word, submit, but actually it's gotten a bad rap because it's a gift. It's a gift to submit to my husband. It's a gift that I give him to submit to what authority God has given him on the earth. Authority as a pastor, authority as my husband. It is a gift that I give him. It is a gift that your kids give you. It is a gift. Do you know how blessed the Lord is when we give that gift to Him to submit to His Lordship? Because God knows when you do that, that nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. When I read about Joash striking the army only three times, the Lord spoke to my heart. I don't know how else to put this out. If you can ask me about it, then I'm just going to say, through the years, we've been at this church for 22 years. But right now, God is asking for a people of passion to arise. It was the lack of passion to pursue the will of God. Let's just say that God is calling this house to be a house of passion. The curse on time is over. The army of dust and the days of the dust are over. God is desiring the remnant to rise. And the challenge today is simply this. Do you want it? There is a shift in the atmosphere that is upon us. Will you respond? Will you respond to the Spirit of God? It was clear what happened to Joash. He was left to a life of survival. He was left to a life of looking what he had instead of what God wanted to give. I can tell you, God wants to do great things through this house and through this people that sit here before me. Amen. Do you believe it? Yes. Her generation counts on us. Michaela's generation counts on us. What are we passing on? There is no need to look at what we're not. That's not what this is about. There is no need to look at what we're not, but looking at what God has to pass down to you. Do you want it? No matter what it costs you, do you want it? Are you willing to set yourself apart for the Lord? Are you willing to allow Him to have every part of your life? For me, there's no other posture to take but then to believe that your wife will be totally healed. No other posture. It's in my book. It's in my book. And I believe it. Sarah and I have many conversations, but I tell her, honey, you are the change. You are the change. You are the change. Without us, there is no change. You are the change. You are the change. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Is anybody else excited about that? I know this might be coming across a little heavy, but it really isn't. It doesn't have to be heavy. It didn't have to be heavy for Joash. It could have been victorious. It could have been dang and shoot all those arrows into the ground because I'm going to have it. It's going to be mine. And I'm not going to stop until I get it. It's here for you if you want it. Guys can stand to your feet. I'm gonna close. Sarah's gonna play, and what I'm asking, no matter where you're at, because I get it. Sometimes you don't know. You don't know if you want to be all in because it's scary. I know about that. Some of you are already thinking, I want that. I want all that God has for me. But today I believe that God is asking this church to take a stand. And I'm going to ask that if you're willing to take that stand, I want you to come up front. I just want you to come up and respond to the Spirit of God. See, Joash could have been afraid. We don't really know, but he could have been. He didn't know how he was going to do it. Can I tell you, it's okay. It's okay that you don't know how to do what God's calling you to do. It's okay. That's why we have each other. That's why we love one another. That's why the people are in this house. To stand with you, to encourage you. And when one's down, one's up. And the one that's up can encourage the one that's down and pull you up. I'll tell you, I didn't fight no war to stay in religion. We fought this war. There's a different spirit in this house. It's okay that you don't know. But are you willing to allow God to work that out? Are you willing to let go of what's held you back? Are you willing to let go, especially of wounds? Wounds are a breeding ground for the devil. And if he can get you to lick those wounds and keep your focus on those wounds, that's survival. I'm not talking about physical affliction and sickness right now. I'm talking about emotional wounds. God, we intentionally let go of the past. Whether it's personal or whether it's things from this house, we are not going to stay in survival mode. We are taking the victory. We are living from victory now. In the name of Jesus. No more looking back. We shut the door to the past. We break the curse on time of going round the mountain and round the mountain with the victory never manifesting. But we declare and decree the victory in Jesus' name. Thank you for every person in this house. Lord, we yield to you. We yield to you who we are. We yield to you what holds us back. We yield to you our mindsets. And we receive that which was laid down. Isaiah 49, verse 8. In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be set free. God, we receive what was laid down. We commit ourselves to passionately pursue you. Sarah sings this song. Let's just press in for a moment. What do you really want?
We'll run together.
take you back to Joash. As Pastor Sherry read, he came to Elisha and he says, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And as we learn, the chariots have been demolished by the enemy down to 10. He had 10 chariots and 50 horsemen. But he had 10,000 foot soldiers. 10,000 bows and arrows. Elisha was concerned about what he didn't have. Joash was concerned about what he didn't have. And Elisha pointed him to what he did have. Take bow and arrow. You don't have a chariot. They're gone. You don't have horsemen. They're gone. Take what you have, what I've given you. Put your hand on it. I'll put my hand with it. It's God's anointing to what you do have. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, when they said, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, what is it for such a large audience? He said, take what you have. Take what you have and give it here. And he blessed it and he multiplied it. So right now, I want to remind you that from that passage that Pastor Sherry brought forward today, that in a way, Joash cursed himself. In the song we just sang, for curses to stop in the land, because Joash was looking at what he didn't have. He couldn't see what he did have. And even when he saw it and he put his hand on the bow and arrow, he was half-hearted. In his mind, he was still thinking about the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. How am I going to win this battle? Elisha was trying to tell him. So right now, I break off anything of the past, any memories of the past in this house, any memory and thought of what we're not, of what we weren't, of what could have been. And right now, we thank you, Father. We take bow and arrow. We take the foot soldiers you have given us. And God, we hold on. And God, we pray for the hand of God to wrap your hand around ours, dear Father. We will be faithful with what you've given us. Father, we thank you for that. We want to thank you, Father, for what we do have. A house where you are honored every time we gather. A house where your name is first and foremost. A people of faith. Warriors of faith who have stood the test of time. Who are battle scarred but stronger for it. Father, we give you thanks for that. We thank you, Father. And God, right now I pray for those who have come to receive in Jesus' name an impartation of passion, Father. Passion that we wish that Joash would have had. Father, passion, Father, that Elisha did have, that nothing would stand in his way. He would not be stopped until he received the double portion. So right now in Jesus' name, for those, Father, who are asking, we're crying out to you for an impartation of passion. Father, times we say, Lord, we don't know what to pray. We don't know how to do it. But Father, I thank you. You don't call the equipped. You equip those you call. So Father, right now, for any in this house that are thinking, I don't know how to do it. I don't know more. I pray to God that they will receive the promise that you'll impart to them that gifting. You'll impart to them that way. Father, I thank you, Father, for the obedience of the sons and daughters in this house. God, we declare and decree and pray for a double portion, Father, of the things of the Holy Spirit, things of the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you, Father, how you've blessed us in every way. And Father, with this we say thank you, and we receive this impartation of passion in our hearts. Stir up the gifts. Stir up the passion, Father. May our focus be on you first and foremost. And for this we say thank you in advance for what you're going to do in all of our lives. And we bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please just stay where you are. I've taught myself. I've told you this before. If there's an altar call, I can any way apply it to my life, I'm there. I mean, I'm at that stage in my life. I've learned. In fact, before we left South Africa, Pastor Daniel had said to us that his level of anointing, God has given him the ability to just absorb Scripture and pour it out. I said, I'm not leaving this airport, Pastor Daniel, until you pray for that for us. And I know it takes work. It's not like it falls on you. And I just want to say that for anything that God has laid on any heart in here. I don't know that it just falls on you as much as the gifts are stirred up. We have to walk in obedience. But I want to just send you a word of encouragement. This church, as we said earlier, has sent the team to South Africa, and we know that even financial, that comes at a cost. While we're over there, if you were checking on the website, we're posting our updates daily, just sending photographs and things like that. A friend of a person that I know happened to look on there. He texted me while I was in Africa. He said, "I'm so blessed by what you're doing there, and I'm sending a gift to your church." I won't release the amount here to the church. I want to say this is how God is working. This is how God is working. He's gifted us by somebody who says, "I can't go to Africa, but you're going on my behalf. I support you guys. And I support your ministry." And I don't want to say that. In fact, interesting, I pulled up to the church today on my way to worship practice, opened the mailbox, and there it was, an envelope in there for Life Tree Church. It's a gift because God is providing in each and every turn. And that it's just a reminder that God, we are in God's will. He provides every need and He meets every need. Amen, church. Amen. So just, God, we thank you, Father, for your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray to God that those in this house today, Father, that we will receive again that impartation to stir up the gifts in us, stir up the passion. At all costs, dear God, we will press in. Father, we will not get distracted and we will not look back. We thank you for what we do have. We'll take the bow and arrow. We don't have chariots. We don't have horsemen. We got bows and arrows. And that's how you're going to win your battle. And for that, we say thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Please take your seats, or take a seat. You don't have to go back. That's wherever it's comfortable.